If Jesus appeared to you in your living room and said, if I could tell you something that would change your life, that would just cause you to have to look, you know, just a little bit more intense at your life. But, if I could give you four things to watch for that would just revolutionize your life, I think each and every one of us would do it. I think each and every one, because you all love Jesus, right? And so he wrote something down, though, in his word, which is just as good as him appearing. And we talked to you about it. We've been talking to you about how many know the word of God never fails. It never returns void. It'll always accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Amen. So it's not on the word's fault if something's coming up short in our life. It's not the word, because the word always works. Amen. I said it always works. Always. And then we've been looking at our heart, our cardia. And we've been looking at the different kinds of soil. We looked at wayside soil. We looked at stony soil. And last week we looked at a soil called thorny soil. And there was four things that were Jesus gave us looking at the Matthew, Mark, and Luke account. And so I just want to quickly review these things. Because really, literally, the person with thorny soil is a person that is not wayside soil. They've gotten all the stones out. And so really, literally, they are good soil waiting to produce. These people have good soil because I know they received the word and it begins to come up. First the blade, then a stalk, then the ear. But the only problem with the thorny soil versus the good soil, how many want to be good soil? What's good soil? It produces some 30, some 60. Do I got any 100-fold producers in the room? Amen. Well, we got to make sure we're 100-fold producers because the Lord told us how to do it. And he said the person with thorny soil is, there. To me, these have got to be the most frustrated Christians on planet Earth because they've got good soil. They're actually hearing the word. They're actually having faith come. And they're actually producing some roots. So these are not casual believers. They've got some roots in them. It grows up. Because it says it grows up, but it says no fruit ever comes to maturity. Man, how would you like to have an orange grove or a grape, a vineyard, and every year, just about the time of harvest, the fruit would fall off? I mean, that would be very frustrating. And I think that's where a lot of Christians live. Because, see, you can see the fruit. These people believe in salvation. These people believe in healing, probably. These people believe in prosperity. They believe they should have peace in their home. They believe they should be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They just can't ever seem to get there. And why? So if I could tell you how to fix that, would you want to know? If the Lord would tell us how to fix that so that we could go from being frustrated to producing fruit. How many of you know you're supposed to produce fruit? And your fruit should remain. How many know it's the will of God for the word to be working? Because all the promises of God are what? So should you be walking in them? You shouldn't be frustrated. So if there's things that are causing us to be frustrated, then we need to remove them. And so we looked at those four things that produce thorns in our life. And how many know Jesus doesn't exaggerate? And so when he says these thorns get into our garden and they choke out the word of God, that means these four things literally choke the word of God out of your heart to keep you from producing. So if these four things get in my heart and your heart and they're choking out the word of God, then I think we should make sure we know what they are and we get rid of them. Anybody ready for some weed be gone? Amen. It is time to get out the killer and get rid of the weeds, because if the weeds are choking out the word, I used to think this, well, if you just sowed more seed. Now, I do know that the light of the word of God removes darkness, but it's saying what Jesus is saying about the weeds and the seed of the word of God is it seems as though that just getting more word is not going to fix this. Because if it's just getting more word, but I don't take care of the weeds seem to, some reason, choke it out still. And so let's look at this. Let's remember what they are. Y'all remember the four? The deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures or the lusts in this life, the lusts of other things, and the cares of this earth, the cares of this world. And so what is the deceitfulness of riches? Let's just review real quick, like. Well, it would be someone, if someone is deceived by riches, they trust in money. How many know the Word of God says you can't serve God and money? Who you serving? Who you serving? Oh, that's weak. Who y'all serving? We're all serving. Oh, that's really still weak. Come on, are we serving God or money? You say, well, Pastor, it confuses me around here because you talk so much about money. Well, we're talking about the Word of God. How many know Jesus became poor so that you could become rich? He's not opposed to you having money. He's opposed to money having you. The Bible says it's the love of money, not money itself, that's the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Money is a tool. It's whether, do you love it? How can you tell if you love it? If you make decisions by it. Let's just see, and let's all just smile a little bit and make sure we're not money-minded. What is a, how should you be led in life? How should you make decisions in your life? You should make decisions based on two things. You should make decisions in your life based on A, the written word of God, and B, the leading of the Holy Ghost. If you ever let money make your decision, you are money-minded. Well, I just disagree. Well, you're wrong. How do I know? Because of the deceitfulness of riches, Jesus said, you can either serve me or you can serve money. What you serve is above you. What's above you is what makes your decisions in life. God said it from the very beginning. There'll be no other God before me. And the Bible talks about that the love of money or being covetous is the, that's where the root of the evil is. And so when we in life make money, when we make decisions based on money, and that is how we make decisions, then you are putting weeds into your garden. It's as simple as that. This is a huge one. I say it all the time. Money is a test. How are you doing? Because see, the word of, you can't even get to the true riches until you learn how to handle the natural stuff. I mean, it's a big thing. Y'all with me? He's going to do it again. Y'all all right? Okay, y'all still there? All right, but get with me. Get with me here. So, the second thing was the pleasures of the lust in this life. How many of you know the Bible even says God gives you all things to freely enjoy? But we're not supposed to let the pleasures of this life come in place of God. Amen? The Bible talks about in the latter days there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So how many of you know God wants you to enjoy your life, but he doesn't want you to have anything above God in your life? Amen? Number three, the lust of other things. What is that talking about? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We can't live a life where our flesh dominates us, where the lust of other things get in. And the last one is the cares of this world. Everybody shout, no worries. No worries. How many know that worry and fear is a thorny bush? And worries and fears get in and choke out the word of God. How many of you know that you can combine this one together with the first one? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these, what things? Things the Gentiles seek after. In other words, that whole scripture there is talking about don't worry. Don't worry about, well, then you've never, Pastor Mark, you've never been in my shoes. Well, we can trade shoes. I'll give you what I have to deal with, and you can give me what you got to deal with. Everybody's got stuff. Anytime you think you're a special case, the devil has won. Because everybody deals with this stuff. And so the truth of the matter is, God said, Jesus himself said, don't worry about it. Come on, how many of you know worry can't change anything? You've never worried one bill paid. You've never worried a car payment paid. You've never worried groceries into your refrigerator. You said, well, yeah, but I don't have it, and so it concerns me. Well, he'll perfect everything that concerns you. You can't help yourself by worrying. You can't help yourself, and you can't pressure people to worry in with you, or you can't pressure people to fix it. Only God can fix it. But he said, Jesus said, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about what? Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to live. And I always add, don't worry about what you're going to drive. If you'll just seek first the kingdom of God, he'll do what? He'll add you where you can live. He'll add you some good clothes. Jesus likes good clothes. He was wearing some good threads when he died. They fought over it. Amen. I believe he ate well. Amen. Well, what about a ride? He rode on a brand new donkey. He likes them new. But if you stress over it, if you try to make it happen, if you worry about it, what are you doing? Instead of when you believe, you know, that scripture, my God shall supply all my needs. That's a seed, and it'll grow up and produce. But if you add worry with it, what is it? What happens? The worry and the fear go in and choke out, my God shall supply all my needs. That's what it's saying. If you look at it more practical, I want you to start seeing your heart, your cardia, in a different way. It's your garden. What did God tell Adam and Eve about the garden? He told them to guard it. The Garden of Eden. I mean, that's an awesome place. But I want you to start looking at this as your Garden of Eden, your cardia, the center of you. Because that's where their life, Adam and Eve's life, was to flow from. But what happened? One day, Adam quit guarding it. And what happened? A snake got in. The devil got in. And then what happened? Well, Eve talked to her. Remember, all the fellas like to blame Eve. But if Adam would have been guarding his garden, so we always say it around our house, you know, if I ever let a snake in, just don't talk to it. Okay, so fellas, guard your gardens. Ladies, no talking to snakes. The only thing you should do to a snake is chop its head off. And so, but you have to then, so this is what we're going to talk about today. If those four thorny bushes, those four seeds that Jesus warned us about, and he literally warned us about those. He said, these four things, when they get into your garden, they choke out the word of God. It's not because your soil's not good. It's not because your soil's not good. Because it produces. It grows things up, and it grows them to produce fruit. But people in the thorny soil can't ever get to them. How do you become a 30, 60, or 100 folder? Did you notice in the word of God, the Lord didn't talk much about it? He talked a lot about the rest of them, but he didn't talk about this one much. He just said, if you got good soil, it'll produce some 30, some 60, 100 fold. What does that mean? You've taken care of the wayside soil, you got the stones out, and you dealt with the thorn bushes. The thorn bushes that choke. I mean, I want you to know then, if that's what he's telling us, then you and I need to get about guarding our soil so that we don't let the deceitfulness of riches in. We don't let the lust of other things in. We don't worry. Come on, somebody say no worries. We're going to keep that out of our garden. We're going to keep that out of our cardia. And then the seed of the word of God that you are already putting in. Because see, the people in the thorny soil, they're putting the word in. They're hearing it. They're receiving it with joy. They're even watering it. I mean, it's in there. But the only thing they're not doing is they're not guarding their soil because seeds of thorns are getting in and it's choking out the word of God. How many of you know, if you want to change it then, what do you got to do? Well, I'm just going to put more word in. Well, that's great, and I believe the light moves out the darkness. But if you're putting any thorns in your soil, the Bible says it's going to choke. And so I think then we've got to be more aware of the thorns and the weeds getting in our soil. Because if I can keep the weeds out, you ready to keep some weeds out? We got some weed be gone, and we're going to kill some weeds in us. But also, from now on, we're going to keep the weeds out. And if I can keep the weeds out, then what's going to happen? Then my seed of the Word of God will produce unhindered. And then I'm going to be a 30, 60, and 100-folder. Anybody want to go with me to the 100-fold? Can the word produce a hundredfold?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you'll get a hold of this, it'll change your life and it'll change your future. You won't be frustrated anymore. But there's some work to it. Because how does the seed, the word of God's seed or the thorn seed, get into our heart? Well, you've been hearing me mention it now. I've been teaching this for 8 weeks. And so I've been casually mentioning this. But there are three gates to your heart. You have an eye gate, you have an ear gate, and you got a mouth gate. And we're going to talk about your three gates. Now, this is the deal. Who's in charge of the gates that go to your heart? Only you. Your spouse can't do this for you. You can have help. You can have help. Thank God the Holy Ghost is our helper. But ultimately, what gets in your gates is up to you. What gets in my gates is up to me. It's not up to Pastor Rhonda. It's not up to a board member. Your gates, they're not controlled by your spouse. They're not controlled by anyone around you. Creflo and Joyce cannot control your gates. Amen? Kenneth can't do it. Nobody can do it. Just you. Mark would love to do it. Because I know if I could do it, I mean, I got to control my own, but if I know if I could get you to control your gates, I know it would change your life forever. Because I know you in this room, you're hungry for God, you love God, or you wouldn't be here. And so, you know, and that's what you're going to get here at Cornerstone. I'm going to show you what the Word says to help you get to that abundant life. I love when the Holy Ghost, just like he did just a few minutes ago, I love when he moves. But I also like to teach you so you can live victoriously every day.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is everyday living.
Yes.
And so how do we do it? Well, you have an eye gate. And so the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 4, 21. It says, let them, talking about the word of God, not depart from your eyes. So you've got a gate, which is your eye. And he said, talking about the word, he said, let the word of God not depart from your eyes. And so what happens with our eye gate? Let's look at verse 25. Let your eyes look right on, and then your eyelids look straight before thee. So it's talking about your eyes. So in Proverbs chapter 4, it's talking about out of the issues of your heart, flow your life. If you don't like the issues of your heart, if you don't like the issues in your life, then you got to change your heart. And now it's also in Proverbs chapter 4, all three gates are mentioned. Your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. They're all mentioned. And so this eye gate, let's talk about our eye gate. It could be positive or negative things. How many of you know what goes in your eye gate could be from reading? How many of you know we should read the word? How many of you know we should study the word to show ourselves approved? How many of you know every time you read the word, you are putting seed into your heart? So how many of you believe we should read the word? There's so many ways to read the word today. I mean, I have a daily devotional that comes to my iPhone and to an email. And I never delete it because I go through my emails all the time and delete them after I deal with them. But I don't delete it until I read it. So I'm forcing myself to get some seed. No matter how busy I am, it's on there. Rick Renner is blessing my life. And so that's how I do it. So I also read the word. I look at the word. But how many of you know in a negative way, your eye gate could see things. Your eye gate could read stuff that's contrary to the word. Not just bad immoral, but just bad seed. How many of you know today our eyes, we used to just talk about TV and going to the movie theater. But you have a TV in your hand. I see all your TVs. How many of you know what's on there sometime? If you look at the wrong thing, hit an image, go to another image, go to another image, uh-oh. That's really important to understand that what your eyes look on is very important, because what your eyes see for a little bit, then the Bible talks about then we should read the word of God and then meditate. Anybody know what meditate means? It means to think on, ponder, and you can do that in a good way. Or if you've seen something that's wrong, then you can begin to meditate on a bad thing. How many know your eye gate is very important? Amen? I mean, so whatever you're putting in this gate, y'all a little quiet. But that's all right. Whatever you're putting in this gate from the internet, whatever you're putting in this gate, whatever you put in this gate on a regular basis, it doesn't go to your brain only. It goes down into your heart. Because you have natural eyes, your blues, your browns, your greens, whatever you got, your hazel, whatever you got. But it also, you have these physical eyes are connected to your spiritual eyes. And they go into your heart. So it doesn't just go into your brain. It doesn't just go into your soul. It goes into your cardia, which contains your spirit and your soul. And so if you're looking at stuff, if I'm looking at stuff that's contrary to the word of God, it is putting thorny bushes in my heart, which do what? Always choke the word of God. So how many of you know it would be brighter on my part and your part just to keep the thorns out? And so what does that take? Well, it takes a decision. It takes a will to make sure. Because how many of you know sometimes my wife says it like this when she talks to the guys. But it's true with everybody, all human beings. She said, sometimes you can't help the first glance. Like David and Bathsheba, y'all remember them? How many of you know he's up on the rooftop and she was out taking a bath? I don't know why you take a bath on the roof. But anyway, that's another story for another day. He was in the wrong place. I get all that. But he was looking. How many of you know he couldn't necessarily maybe help the first look, but he could help the second, the third, and the fourth. And he could have helped bring her to me. But it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't had the first or second look. What you and I look at, it doesn't just affect our brain. It doesn't just affect our soul. The Bible says it affects your soil. And so how many of you know we need to guard the eye gate? Come on, everybody say, I will guard my eye gate. Psalms 119:37 says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Matthew 6:22-23 talks about, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Have you ever heard your eyes are the window to your soul? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single or only with the word of God, the whole body shall be what? So if I'm just the seed of the word of God is the only thing I'm looking at, then what gets in me? Only light. What does 23 say though? But if your eye be evil, or you can say it this way, if I'm looking at things that are contrary to the word of God or evil, your whole body shall be what? Why would that happen? Why would it be full of darkness? It's because you're getting other kinds of seeds in there and it's going into your heart and it's choking out the word of God. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is your darkness? All right? So let's look. So everybody understand you got an eye gate. Are you going to guard your eye gate? Come on, help me out a little bit. I will guard my eye gate. Where does your eye gate go to? It goes to your soil. If I can keep out the thorns before they get in there, then how many know it makes it easier to produce some 30, some 60, some 100 fold? That's why the Lord didn't talk much about this soil. He just said if it's good, it'll produce. Why? Because he already told you the thorny soil is the one that's almost there, but they're letting in seeds from other places that are weeds that choke out the word of God. And it makes good sense. If I can just get rid of the thorny bushes, I'll be a 30, 60, or 100-fold producer. Hallelujah. Well, that sounds easy, right? I can't get anybody to say it. That sounds easy, right? No, because there is some work to it. You got to guard your gates. You got to guard your gates. See, you know, there's always a God side and a man side. The Holy Ghost will help you guard your gate, but you got to still guard it. The next gate is the ear gate. Ear gate. Luke 8:18 says, take heed therefore how you hear. For whoever has him shall be given, and whoever has not from him that'll be taken away, even that which he seems to have. Let's look at Mark's account, chapter 4, verse 24. He said to them, take heed what you hear. Because what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you, and unto you that hear, more will be given. So Jesus said two things according to two different ways, but the same time as talking, so I believe he said both of them. He said, be careful what you hear, and be careful how you hear it. Be careful what you hear, and be careful how you hear it. Let's talk about how you hear it. How many of you know if you hear the word of God like this, I've already heard that. Don't you got anything new? I've been hearing that for 20 years. Don't you got anything new? I remember I listened a lot to a brother, Keith Moore. Anybody know him? Love him. He'll straighten you out. Anyway, so I was listening to him, and he was talking about his early adventures at healing school. And I remember when I was in Bible school, I used to go to this healing school on my day off just to learn how to do it. And so he was talking about his early years, and of course, I'm telling the story, so it probably won't be exactly like Brother Moore tells it. But he said he, when he started doing healing school, he would give the, you know, the scriptures we use, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, go into Isaiah, look at Galatians 3:13 and 14. And he said the people would come up to him, this one guy came up to him, and he said, I've been knowing these scriptures. I've been following Brother Hagin since you were in diapers. And basically, it made Brother Keith feel like he had to get some new, obscure scriptures to get him something new, because everybody had already heard that. But then the Lord dealt with him and said, if they act like they already heard that, they don't believe that. Kind of my paraphrase of what was said. But how many of you know, so anytime we hear the word, be careful how you hear it. If you hear it with an attitude, I've already got that, then what are you doing? You got your ear gate and you closed it off from seed that'll go in your heart and produce some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. How many of you know that 1 Peter 2:24 never gets old? It's always worked and it will always work. Galatians 3:13 and 14 has always worked and it will always work. Because why? It's seed. It's seed. Get it in the soil. How many times do I got to get in there? Well, how many of you know if you kept putting 1 Peter 2:24 in there over and over and over again, what's going to produce? Well, 1 Peter 2:24 is going to be a 100-fold producer in your life. Amen? Be careful how you hear. Everybody say, be careful how you hear. Tell your neighbor, be careful how you hear. Amen? Now it's Jesus said what? Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. How many of you know there's a whole... Come on, there is so much out there in the hearing available. I mean, the Bible talks about there's no voices without signification. I mean, today in the opinion world that we live in, you can hear a lot of things. And you got, you know, even news now, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. You know what? Click the off button. Hallelujah. I'm trying to learn how to do it. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus said it very carefully. He said, be careful what you hear. You have a report from the Lord. That's the report you should be hearing. That's the report you should be letting go through your ear gates and your eye gates. Because if you hear another report and it's contrary to the word of God, what does that do? It puts thorny bush seed into your soil, which does what? Always chokes the word of God. Always keeps it from producing. So if I know that my ear gate goes not just my, you know, my natural ears, but it goes to my spiritual ears, and it goes to my soil, goes to my cardia, then if I know that, then I'm going to guard my gate. Come on, put a guard on your gate. Watch what you hear. How many know if you just don't hear it, you don't have to deal with it? I mean, you'd have to, you could hire a few less gardeners if you just get it out. You don't let it go in. Amen. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? I don't know the rest of it. Anyway, so I didn't grow up in that Sunday school class. Anyway, so you got to watch what goes in. And so what should we be putting in our ear? The word of God. The seed of the word of God. And sometimes, again, you can't be careful. I mean, you can't always not hear things. Like a doctor's report, a banker's report, an attorney's report. I'm not saying when you're in the attorney's office, close your ears and go, nah, nah, nah. I'm not saying that. I am saying that you can't meditate on that. You can't keep hearing that. You've got to hear what the word says about it. There's a third gate. This one's a big one. This one's the largest gate you got. And it's your mouth. You have a mouth gate. And that gate is open wide. And it can be open wide to destruction, or it can be open wide to deliverance. You know a lot of these things, but let me remind you of it. Proverbs 4 and 24. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth. Perverse lips put far from thee. Joshua 1:8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that you observe to do. And it says at the end that you will have good success. What is good success? When the word of God is coming out of your mouth, it goes into your heart, and it is putting seed in there. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then the Message Bible says it this way. It says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I rewrote this. Words kill, words give life. They're either weed seed or fruit seed, you decide. They're either weed seed, words they kill, or they give life. They're either seeds of the weeds of the world, or they're either seeds of the Word of God. You get to decide. Now, this is cool. You get to decide what goes in your eyes. You get to decide what goes in your ears. You get to decide what comes out of your mouth. Therefore, you and I get to decide what gets in our heart. And if we got the Word of God in our heart, God guarantees us, Jesus guaranteed us, that it would produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But if we continue not to guard our eyes, not to guard our ears, not to guard our mouth, what happens? The thorny bushes, the thorns from the seeds of this world get into us, and it will cause us not to produce any fruit. Reminds me in Hebrews. How many of you have ever been in Pastor Rhonda's Love Walk class in Bible Institute? Y'all are very familiar with that, that root of bitterness. Y'all remember that root of bitterness? What does a root do, especially a root of bitterness? How did you get bitter? Something happened to you in your life, and in your eyes, your ears, or your mouth, you meditated on it until it became a root of bitterness. Couldn't forgive somebody. That root of bitterness went in, and what does it do? It chokes out the Word of God. Anybody ever read Mark? I know we love Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Anybody ever read Mark 11, 25, and 26? It says that if you don't forgive somebody, what happens? Your Father won't be able to forgive you. And so there's a root of bitterness. Well, that root comes in and takes up all of your garden. It takes up all of it. If you've ever seen anyone with a root of bitterness, I mean, even when they try, it spews out. And isn't that what the Bible says? It says that root of bitterness, when it springs up, it defiles. That word defile means rape. What happens is they throw their bitterness on everybody else's soil. Oh, y'all not hang around with bitter folk. Y'all not hang around with bitter folk. You can help them from afar. Tell them, here's some tools. Get that root out. Come on, if you love somebody, you'll tell them to get that root out. If you love somebody, you'll tell them to not be bitter anymore, to forgive and move on, and let me help you pull that root out. But if not, what happens? Their root of bitterness grows up, and it defiles. Their seed goes into where? It goes into your ear. It goes into your eyes. It goes into your mouth. You got to be careful. You don't pick up somebody else's bitterness. Amen. Because what are you doing? You're sowing the wrong kind of seed. And before long, then you've got a root of bitterness. Come on. Are you seeing what I'm saying about how important it is that out of your heart flow the issues of your life? And if I can guard my eyes, my ears, and my mouth, I can make sure that the fruit of the Word of God is producing. I'm just going to leave you with this. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, verses 6 through 10 is talking about finances, and it's talking about us giving offerings to ministers that have ministered to us. But the principle of the seed time and harvest, how many know God's always had a principle of seed time and harvest? And so here in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived. Who's the deceiver? The devil's the deceiver. How many know he's been deceiving from the beginning of time? I mean, Jesus said he's the father of lies. What does that mean? There was never a lie told until the devil told it. He's the originator of all lies. And for you, how many know Jesus destroyed him, right? The devil doesn't have any more powers, but he's still going about seeking who he may devour. How? By deceiving them. Lying to them. It says, be not deceived. So the devil's trying to deceive you and I, thinking that this is not important, but it is important. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also, if I never sow, anything into my eyes, my ears, and my mouth that is contrary to the word of God, then I'll never have to deal with it. Maybe some of you get this later, how big this really is. If I really watch everything that goes into my eyes, and I really am particular about what goes into my ears, and I really am particular about what I talk about, then no devil seed, no weeds are getting in my soil. And if all, because see, you by you being here today, you tell me you love God and you love his word. You being here today, you tell me that. And so since I know I'm talking to the right people, then if we remove that and all we have left is this, what's going to start happening? You're not going to be frustrated anymore. You're going to be doing what? Listen, y'all, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Oh, Pastor, you mean we can't watch football anymore? I didn't say that because I'm still going to. But I'm not going to put, you know what? I've had God test me with stuff like that before. I mean, it was a championship game. You know, in Alabama, that's a big thing. Whether you war with an eagle or a roll with the tide, it is a big thing. And I remember one day he said, I don't want you to watch it. I'm like, and what? I want you to come pray. Well, I did watch the rerun. I'm just telling you, sometimes you have to make hard choices. But if you do, you're going to produce. Well, I just think I just want to live my life. I don't want to be bound. I just want to be free. I just, don't put any bondage on me. I just believe I can do whatever I want. And, the Lord will just make up the difference. You're wrong. He told you what to do. He said, keep the weeds out. I've given you gates, your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate, and you got to watch them. The Bible talks about your mouth. It talks about Proverbs about put your hand over your mouth. What are you doing? Putting a guard over it? Now, there comes a time you got to take the guard off to start saying what the word says, but at least it'll keep the weeds out. Be not deceived. God is mocked. Whatever a man sows. So whatever. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever. So, oh, that's that karma thing. No, karma, that's not a thing. Quit saying that. I mean it. Quit it. It's a God principle. Whatever a person sows is what they're going to reap. Verse 8. He that sows to his what? Shall do what? Reap. Lust of the flesh. Deceitfulness of riches. Cares of this life. Pleasures of this life. If you sow that way, in other words, you let the weed seeds come in, what's going to happen? You will reap the production of that seed. But, aren't you glad for that? But, he that sows to the, Jesus said, my words are spirit, and if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your, if you worship him in spirit, and in, he that sows to the spirit shall do what? Of the spirit reap, what? Life everlasting. That's not talking about when you get to heaven. It's talking about God's eternal things operating in your life, the right here and the right now. Amen. Verse 9. Let us not be weary. Okay, that's what we were talking to. Let's go back to the beginning of the service. Don't be weary. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season. See, everybody say, it's my season. What's it your season for? It's your reaping season. It's your reaping season. It's your, the word always work, it's your reaping season. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You get something out of that today? Aren't you glad you came to church over the 4th of July weekend? Y'all stand up. Father, we thank you. I thank you for every person here under the sound of my voice. Lord, I just ask you to make this revelation to them. I tried to get it the best way I knew how to get it to them. And so, Father, for every one of us, for me, for them, We pray that you continue to open the eyes of our understanding. Father, that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that understand, and that we'll be converted in every area of our life. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you it's life-changing. I thank you the word is working in each and every individual in this room. In the name of Jesus. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Hold fast to that which you believe. Hold fast to that which you have spoken. Be like Jairus of old and be not afraid and only believe. And when you only believe and only say my word, then I will be able to do great and mighty things. But put a guard over your eyes, put a guard over your ears, put a guard over your mouth and watch your life begin to change and see and hear and speak my word only. Meditate on my word like I told Joshua of old. Meditate day and night and you will begin to see your life be rearranged and changed. And then and only then will you have good success and your life will be lifted up. Yes, even lifted up from a dunghill to set with the princes of his people. And I will raise you up and I will cause you to be seen. And those around you who are even skeptical of me, I will cause them to see and know that I'm real and I'm alive because I'm working in you. Only keep your garden, keep it pure, keep it whole, and you will begin to see my word. You'll begin to see it work, and great and mighty things will happen for you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Father, we magnify you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We love you. Hallelujah.